This is Small Business Conversations with Akona Matroba, unlocking essential advice, opinions, and key issues that affect South Africa's small business community.
Entrepreneurship is a vital driver of economic activity, not only in our respective communities, but for the country in general. In fact, the latest Future of Entrepreneurs report conducted by the Heavy Shift Foundation takes this further by claiming that soon, entrepreneurship will be the only means of making a living for most South Africans. If that is indeed true, then it is important to learn what the future of entrepreneurship is forecast to look like in the coming years. The Heavy Shift Foundation has released the sixth edition of the Heavy Shift Entrepreneur Education Report, and according to its findings, the future of entrepreneurship is tech. Joining us to tell us more about this is Lukhanyo Nier, the chairman of the Heavy Shift Foundation. Welcome, Lukhanyo, and thank you for joining us on the pod.
Hi, Akona. Thank you so much for having us. Really appreciate it.
No, definitely. So mentioned in the beginning there that the key takeaway that I got, at least, is that the future of entrepreneurship is tech. But before we get into the discussion today, can you please tell us about this latest Future of Entrepreneurs report and why it was so important for the foundation to undertake this research?
I think, as you were saying, the future is technology, but part of the reason that the future is technology is largely because of these significant shifts in technology trends that we are seeing both across the world and across the continent and in South Africa as well. And we certainly thought it was necessary to begin to understand what is driving and shaping the learning habits of entrepreneurs in the country to better understand how they're thinking about technology and how that's going to shape their businesses as well. That's the real reason why for us it was important in partnership with our different partners to see in the end what is the impact of this revolution and whether or not the benefits would be worthwhile for South African entrepreneurs.
And can you just tell us a bit more about the research methods used in this report. When was it conducted and who did you speak to?
So we employ a combination of qualitative and quantitative research methodologies. For the electronic surveys, we partnered with a whole host of organizations and or companies who have existing databases of vetted business owners. So the likes of Yoko, Black Umbrellas, Workshop 17, and multiple others. That was really about running surveys. We were asking them questions. We surveyed about 9,000 entrepreneurs. So that's the quantitative component of it. Mm-hmm. Then on the qualitative component, we have with the Heavy Shift Pty Ltd. Pty has a learning platform, and that learning platform, we have over about 1,020 hours of content. We've interviewed a whole host of entrepreneurs, people we call heavy chefs. And so that's the other component of the research. And the last part of the research just comes really from in-depth interviews we've had with entrepreneurs who we've engaged and had those interviews with them.
And what are the key insights that can be found in this report? I mean, what stood out most for you?
On the high level, I think the first one is really around the idea that technology trends are increasingly aligning with long-held attitudes and learning habits of entrepreneurs. And by that, we mean the entrepreneurs we've surveyed already have very high interest in learning and interest in technology as well. But this change in the technology trends is also aligning with your own ambitions, both at an individual level as well as at a company level. That's another big insight we realized was that there's obviously these entrepreneurs are recognizing the power and importance of data science. And so they're wanting to spend a bit more money in investing in upskilling themselves so that they're better able to exploit the benefits of data science in their businesses. And then obviously, and I think we've seen in the last number of years, the large shift towards cloud services. And so what's obviously becoming quite clear is that the increasing in the usage of cloud services has meant that thanks to cloud computing, even small entrepreneurs now have access to the storage and computing power that previously only large companies would have had without needing to make the large CapEx investments or the personnel investments as well. So we're obviously seeing the shift towards entrepreneurs empowering themselves and equipping themselves in order to make the most of that trend. And I think the last of the big highlights we were seeing are that the opportunities that come about as a result of the shift towards increased use of technology, and what we saw in the report was that there are obviously now greater business opportunities for niche online communities. These communities, previously for them to be able to make the most of technology or make the most of these opportunities, would have had to again to make significant investments and capital investments as well. So I think what we've seen is that the increased use of technology has opened up these new opportunities for entrepreneurs as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the findings that stood out for me when I was going through the report was the aspect of hard skills and the skills that entrepreneurs find that they're not best at. And I thought that these skills were skills that are quite critical to running a successful business. Things like HR, operations, sales and marketing, and financial management were some of the skills that entrepreneurs highlighted as maybe not the strongest points. How do we anticipate advances in technology and cloud services to solve this problem? What does the research say about this?
If you go back just to the very essence of why we set up Heavy Chef and Heavy Chef Foundation, was really about creating a platform in order to equip entrepreneurs in their entrepreneurial journey. And so that's the core of the work we were doing. Yeah. What we then realized, obviously, is that entrepreneurs simply do not have the time in order to take long courses, long extended periods of time in order to equip themselves. So how is it that they're able to get the just-in-time learning in order to satisfy the gaps that they have in their knowledge in order to plow that back into the business?
Yeah.
Technology, obviously, say if you look at one of our partners, Xero, any entrepreneur who previously didn't have a background in accounting or even at a more basic level doesn't have bookkeeping skills is able to utilize a very easy-to-use platform like Xero in order to plug the financial component in their business. Mm. Similarly, if an entrepreneur has got an e-commerce platform and they require access to the cloud in order to store, whether it's images or videos that they're needing people to be able to utilize. Again, when you're able to use platforms like Azure or any of the other cloud computing services, it becomes a way for them to be able to, at a fraction of the price, be able to utilize and piggyback on skills that previously would have required tens or hundreds of people in order to satisfy that. So I think part of the opportunity that comes about with technology for entrepreneurs is even when the entrepreneurs themselves might not have all the depth of expertise and experience in a particular subject, if they're able to do the learning in order to understand directionally what's happening, then they're able to better utilize the technology in a particular direction. Then obviously there are entrepreneurs who are particularly interested and have a requirement to have much more hard skills for themselves in order to build better products for their customers and have create better experience as well for their users. And I think that's another opportunity as and when these technologies become more accessible and more available to entrepreneurs across the African continent, that they're able to make much better use of them in order to satisfy their business needs.
Mm. No, I thought that was quite interesting. And one of the points as well that came out was that should this really take place, then these skills might be taken over by these cloud services, which I thought was very interesting because in one of the previous episodes that we did on the podcast, assessing the state of the SME sector, one of the main pain points was that a lot of SME owners were spending a lot of time away from their businesses, trying to get the administrative parts of their businesses sorted, which took away from productivity. But this report is future forward, right? It's looking at what is coming and what could come. There's no certainty on it. When do you anticipate that these kinds of resources will be made available to entrepreneurs to drive the impact that we so desperately want to see?
Akona, let's be fair and honest with ourselves.
Yeah.
The challenges on the African continent are such that it is near impossible to conceive that the kind of jump forward in the use of these technologies is possible in the absence of some of the very basics that are required. So we talk at the moment in South Africa, at any given point in time, we're worried about load shedding hitting us. We're worried about a whole host of basic problems.
Sure.
I'm raising this to say it's not an overnight jump that we're going to have. It obviously is going to be both incremental and at times exponential. In fact, I suspect, and we suspect as well in our work, that the kind of trajectory you saw with the mobile phone is a kind of trajectory you're going to see here. By that I mean, there are people who we continue to see using feature phones to this day. Large amounts of people use feature phones.
Mm.
There are large amounts of people who use very basic smartphones. But then you also have, on the other end of the spectrum, people who are utilizing more advanced iPhones and Android phones. The point I wanted to land at is that some of these technologies are obviously available today. The challenge some people might have is access to data or connectivity, or the price of data and connectivity.
Yeah.
So there's some that are easy. So if you're talking about Xero, you're talking about PayFast, we're talking about some of the basic entry-level technologies there. But the more advanced technologies are obviously a bit further away from us in order to be able to fully realize. Timeline-wise, I think it's both now and will continue to happen into the future, Connor. I worry the answer I'm giving you isn't too helpful, but I think it's a more realistic answer. It's not the Androids coming over or some bugs coming over and taking over overnight.
No, I understand that. And I'll be definitely going to touch on the accessibility of these technologies, but I wanted to just move back a little bit and speak on the safeguards, because I really thought the point about cloud services taking over the duty of doing hard skills so that entrepreneurs can focus on their businesses to be quite interesting. But something that I was uneasy about was the fact that, you know, every time that I've heard of people starting businesses, they've always been told that you need to do something you know. You need to know your business in and out to avoid being scammed or things like that. And I wonder, with services like the accounting example, if I'm employing a technological device or some code that someone has worked on to do my books for me, how do I know I'm not going to get into trouble with SARS later on? Like, what safeguards are there these entrepreneurs to ensure that things are done correctly, they're done on time, and I'm not going to get a knock from the tax man in like the next month or so?
I think that's a very valid concern to have. And I think my personal approach is that there is a need to utilize a lot of these technologies as well as to make the most of them in your business and in your daily life as an entrepreneur.
Mm.
On the other side, however, is the responsibility for the financial health of your business or your startup as an entrepreneur can only be with you. You can't abdicate that responsibility to someone else. A lot of it is, how do we utilize, and or in utilizing these technologies, how do you also make sure that we also understand some of the basics that are taking place, so that when there is something amiss, you're able to say, but there's obviously something wrong here, or bringing in, as the business continues to grow, being able to bring in people to assist you. But I think at the end, Akona, our approach is the technologies are really meant to assist and support and make things more efficient. But that also does require a bit of knowledge, or at least a bit of upskilling from the entrepreneur's perspective, mm-hmm. in order to be able to make sure that that which you're utilizing continues to serve your best interest.
So these tools are supplements and help, but then you shouldn't divorce all responsibilities of the administrative aspect of your business. That's what I'm getting from you. Is that correct?
100%.
That's understandable. So another finding that I found to be quite interesting was the fact that almost 70% of entrepreneurs said they were learning data science. Why is this skill so important? You mentioned it a little bit before, but can you just delve into a little bit more about why the skill is the skill of the future?
Sure. I think part of the opportunity that comes about, especially with things increasingly taking place online, is that the entrepreneur now has access to much greater data on their business, on their customers, and everything in between. That obviously then means that the entrepreneur needs to find ways of being able to make sense of that data. Otherwise, it's merely numbers on a page. And I think part of the importance of entrepreneurs being able to upskill themselves and hard skills such as data science is being able to make the most of the opportunities that sits within their business environment. There's really no point in having an oil well on your piece of land at home, and you know it's there, but you actually don't understand what it takes to get it out. You don't understand how much of it is there. And so part of the importance of being able to upskill oneself on some of these hard skills like data science is in order to unlock the potential or the value that sits in a lot of the data that entrepreneurs have and that they've been collecting over a period of time. I think it becomes easy to make sense of a fairly easy data set from with this last month. But if you're thinking about data sets over multiple years, across different products, different consumer sets, I think it becomes very necessary to utilize different skills and technologies and tools to make better sense of that data.
Mm-hmm. So this, for me, sounds great, right? It's the emphasis on online because we live online practically, a lot of us. We have online presence in a lot of ways. And it makes sense for entrepreneurship to include that online presence and to lean on those online networks. But also another element of it has been, of business at least, that I've heard of, is the fact that you need to have personal relationships with people, that the relationships you build with different people in different sectors are going to help your business thrive. And I felt that the research leaned a lot on online networks and entrepreneurs kind of finding their way outside of the constraints of public institutions and the norms of doing business historically. Oh. But I wonder, how do we strike the balance between having those physical interactions with people, going to lunches, I guess, and these networking events to meet people, and the online presence and the kind of solitude of figuring yourself out as an entrepreneur? How do we strike that balance?
Sure. Ours as the Heavy Share Foundation, and the reason we started the organization was in order to highlight that entrepreneurs learn best from other entrepreneurs, that it's difficult to learn some concepts from someone who hasn't eaten their own food, who isn't a heavy chef, right? Mm. That's the precursor. But I think the importance of the question you're asking is that that kind of peer-to-peer learning can take place and does take place both in the physical environment as well as online. And I think the entrepreneur journey can be very lonely at times. And it requires one to be able to find peers, whether they are in person or whether they are online, in order to test their thought, understand how someone else went through that particular period, understand how they approached something, how they prepared for something. Those can take place both physically and online. I think the kind of balance that must be struck is that sometimes in either of these scenarios, both the online and the offline scenario, sometimes the people you require for something aren't online and you must go out and find them physically or offline. But sometimes the people you have offline don't have the kind of skills or the experiences that you're needing to lean on physically and you need to go online. And I think it requires the entrepreneur to understand what their needs are and where best they're able to get those needs satisfied. And I think that's able to equip the entrepreneur to recognize at this point in time, I actually need people around me and I need X that I can't simply just Google because Google gives it to me too abstract. Or the community I have online hasn't gone through this before, I must go physically and vice versa. And I think it's contextual on what the entrepreneur requires and the skill set or the experience or the learning that they require at any given point in time.
No, definitely. Just wrapping up our conversation, you did mention aspects on access earlier in our conversation, but I also found it quite interesting when in the report that when it came to discussing the barrier to entrepreneurship, the report cited that as one of the least concerning for entrepreneurs. And I thought that was quite interesting in the sense that we know that South Africa has a huge digital divide. And you mentioned as well that access to technologies will vary for every entrepreneur depending on their immediate context. But how do we ensure that access is more equal rather than not for entrepreneurs, and access to opportunities the same or similar for someone in rural Eastern Cape or rural KwaZulu-Natal and the urban Johannesburg or urban Cape Town?
Sure. One of the reasons we started Heavy Chef Foundation came after the starting of Heavy Chef, our learning platform. Mm. And the reason we did that was we genuinely, at least at the time, have had a very skewed bias towards urban areas, largely in the Western Cape and in Gauteng. What became quite apparent to us was that we were missing out on significant parts of the entrepreneur population across the country, even in some of these locations we have a bias towards. And part of that was because either an entrepreneur is unable to pay the 250 rand all you can eat pass that we give to the learning platform, mm-hmm. or they're unable to have transport in order to go to the events to have every month. And so for us, it became necessary to think about how do we think about those entrepreneurs who are, in our parlance, disconnected entrepreneurs? How do we help them become more connected? And I think this requires potentially two kinds of interventions, Akon. Mm. There is obviously a much more structural intervention about how do government, how do large entrepreneur supporting organizations, how are they able to better support those entrepreneurs in these peri-urban and rural areas and provide them with the kind of support and access that they require. Unfortunately, and we see this a lot in the urban migration, that a lot of these communities end up losing people because their communities simply don't have the kind of facilities or amenities that these entrepreneurs require. And so there's a structural intervention that must take place there. Mm-hmm. But on the other side, there is an intervention, and we see this in a lot of the communities we work in, whether you're in Khayelitsha, where entrepreneurs are bringing themselves together, they're meeting regularly, and they're recognizing that they need access to data. So they're able to say, are we able to galvanize ourselves in order to go out and speak to an organization like Heavy Chef to provide us with additional learning or for the learning gaps we might have? Or are we able to call upon Heavy Chef to go back to their partners and say, we need X, Y, and Z, and we jointly look for something? But I think part of it, both of these things need to be happening side by side. If as entrepreneurs, we're going to keep waiting for government to come to the party, if anything that we are seeing, we're going to wait a very long time. But simultaneously, that doesn't mean that government and other organizations don't have the responsibility to perform their constitutional mandates and any other mandate that they have. But I think what we really are advocating for is how do we get entrepreneurs to collaborate amongst themselves, share information, understand what's required, and then begin to then find the places that are able to ameliorate or alleviate the kind of challenges that they're seeing in very concrete terms and say, we have a very clear problem with data. How can we assist those who have the mandate to deliver this? We've got a very clear problem around access to finance. The entrepreneurs will say, we've been equipping ourselves with skills and knowledge in order to upskill ourselves. We're upskilled, but we simply don't have the resources to do what needs to be done. And I think there has to be this collaborative effort between entrepreneurs and other stakeholders who are able to increase accessibility, increase availability, while still advocating and still calling upon all other actors to come to the party as well.
And that is Lucanio Nier, the chairman of the Heavy Chef Foundation. Thank you once again for your insights, Lucanio.
Thank you so much, Akona.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please like and follow Small Business Conversations and don't forget to share our episodes. If you want to contribute to the conversation, you can tweet me at @Machoba_A or you can email me at smepodcast@manweb.co.za to share your thoughts and suggestions for future conversations. Till next time, goodbye.
You've been listening to Small Business Conversations with Akona Machoba. To listen to more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za, the MoneyWeb app, or your favorite podcast platforms. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.